Continuing, the transnational corporations' reconstruction of the world-scale division and integration of labor processes fundamentally alters the historical possibilities of what are still referred to, and not yet even nostalgically, as national economies. A third phase of the ongoing structural transformation we are sketchily addressing here shows itself, so to speak, in the massive centralization of capital of the post-war decades. Slowly, haltingly, but more and more definitely, the central agency of capitalist accumulation on a world scale, a world ruling class in formation, is organizing a relational structure for continually resolving the massive contradictions increasingly apparent between the transnational corporations' control over and hence responsibility for the interruptions among productive processes, and the multiple states' control over and hence responsibility for the labor forces these production processes engage more or less sporadically. The structure being organized is basically a sort of replacement at a higher level, of course, for the late lamented colonial empires, whose demise the national movement sought and the new hegemonic power, the United States, required. Through those arrangements and such cousins of them as the Chinese concessions and the Ottoman capitulations, the axial division of labor had been furthered and, subject to the very system structural cycles, assured. The 20th century's 30 years' war from 1914 to 1945, insofar as it was about those arrangements, resolved the question of hegemonic power, a United States versus Germany fight, it was then understood, but left for invention the means of its exercise, and with that, the perpetuation of both the axial division of labor and the necessary multiple sovereignties through which the interstate system, and hence the relations of hegemony, operated. I just love the dynamism of this. It's just so fresh. Sorry, continuing. The invention was a long time in coming and seems to have emerged fully only, as we said earlier, after the narrowness of the limits of great power military force had finally been established by the Vietnamese for all to see. And those who heard the earlier shows know I took issue with this interpretation, and I posted an excerpt from that show of December 21st, 2014, which posed the question, what if all the bloodletting was exactly what power wanted? Continuing, crudely put, what seems to have been going on by way of a structural replacement of the colonial empires has been the simultaneous growth in massive centralizations of capital and a sort of deconcentration of capital called deindustrialization in present core areas of the axial division of labor. The massive centralization has as its agencies quite small ad hoc steering committees of consortia, each composed of several hundred banks working in close relations both with central banks and with international genies, notably the World Bank, IBRD, and IMF, and the BIS. The centralization here is at the money point in the circuit of capital, and the borrowers are not directly capitalist entrepreneurs, but are instead states, which in turn use the more or less encumbered credits to work with transnationals, operating with undistributed surpluses in various development projects, which, as they are realized materially, amount to what is called by some third world industrialization and result in precisely the deindustrialization of previously core areas. My comment, this is called conquering and leashing the world's peoples by sucking all the wealth, earth resources stolen, i.e. destroyed, removed from the people's use. All the wealth sucked out of the subject states and into the hands of the banks, powers, money face, the business end of its subjection operation, though the deeply resistant still get the bayonet.